We've been discussing a few things regarding faith, Holy Spirit, or we could say faith life and Holy Spirit life. Or we could say scripturally, the just, the righteous people shall live by faith. And then as we know, those who believe in Jesus should be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so faith people and Holy Spirit people have some work to do, meaning we have some education to get regarding this new life in Christ. You get saved and all of a sudden things change, and you're supposed to know what that change is and what it looks like, what you're after, because that's where the glory of God is. For some reason, He hides a bit so that we have to seek Him. We have to pant. My soul pants after the living God. I'm chasing Him. The Bible says that I'm chasing Him and He's chasing me. I'm trying to apprehend him, and He's trying to apprehend me. It's just this, it's this dance with God. It's this life with God where He wants us, we want Him, and when we do it right, we get to experience Him in this life. And that's what we're trying to promote. That's what we're trying to impart to everybody, because you ain't living until you've met Him. You ain't living on a weekly basis unless you can dance with Him daily. And so you stick around and learn and apply a few things every time you learn something and watch what can happen in your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's the only promise I can give you, that if you go after Him, you'll find Him. Glory. If you're serious about Him, He'll be serious about you. If you'll believe His word, He'll come after you. Hallelujah. Glory. I don't know if I want Him coming after me. You do. You want God coming after you. Right. Praise the Lord. All right. So let's talk about this today. Today, I want to talk about faith people live by laws. But not as you might think. Now that I've startled you and half the people are... Let's read this here. John chapter 1, verse 17. Just want to pick this one out. John 1, 17. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. See that? Jesus Christ changed the old way. The Old Testament way was based in the law of Moses that God gave to Moses from the mountain, starting with 10 commandments on stone and a book with 603 more. That's the law of Moses. You find the law of Moses in the first five books of the Old Testament. That's the law of Moses. It came, or the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ did not give us the law of Moses. Jesus Christ did not present us with more law of Moses. He did not emphasize law of Moses. He gave us grace and truth. So we are not under the law of Moses anymore. Now, there's principles of that law that we still adhere to. There's morals of that law that we absolutely adhere to. But we're just not under the law as God gave it to Moses. There was repercussions in that law. There was a curse and penalty for sin under that law. There were sanctions for disobedience. I mean, quick sanctions. You disobey, you're penalized. You work on the Sabbath and you're stoned. Stuff like that. That doesn't sound too correct anymore, does it? Does it sound right that we would need to stone someone for working on the Sabbath day? No, it doesn't make sense to your heart. And then if you learn the Bible, you'll realize why it doesn't make sense to us anymore. So we're not under the law of Moses. We're under grace and truth. Open to Galatians chapter 3. Trying to show you that we're not under the law of Moses, but we are under some laws. The New Testament has several laws that you need to be aware of because you're under some laws. It's just not the Old Testament way. Galatians chapter 3. starts with a G, not a C. Galatians chapter 3, verse 22. But the scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ. King James says schoolmaster. How many of you have the King James Version? It says schoolmaster, doesn't it? I kind of like schoolmaster. That brings thoughts of fear, ruler, whipping, beating, slapping on the hand. I don't know. Taser. I mean, I don't know. Before faith came, see, now we're under faith. With Jesus came this grace, truth, faith. It's different than under law. The law was our schoolmaster with the taser to keep you in line. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus. So now that faith in Christ has come, we're not under the schoolmaster. You don't have to be tasered. Aren't you glad? Now, what I'm going to get to is the fact that we're not under that law where you have sanctions and penalty, immediate penalty for your sins. But we are under some guideline for life. Did you know that the Old Testament had 613 commands? We talk about that. The New Testament actually has more commands than that. Like over 1,000. Stuff like be merciful, that's a command. Stuff like do not be anxious, that's a command. Over and over and over, we are instructed in the New Testament how to live, how to be. The only difference is in the Old Testament, it was very much, or it was solely outward. In the New Testament, it's highly invisible. The Old Testament was very visible. The New Testament goes even deeper into your heart with some commands that you have to get straight from your heart. So it's highly invisible in the New Testament. In the kingdom of God. Old Testament kingdom was outward. New Testament kingdom is where? Don't look around there for the kingdom of God. It's within me. And so within me is some rulership that God wants to have of how we are supposed to be. Submit to one another. Right? Stuff like that. Don't be drunk with wine. Don't be tipsy is in the New Testament. There's lots of do's and don'ts. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be baptized. Those are all commands, right? There's a lot that we're supposed to learn and do in the New Testament. So don't think that just because you're not under the law of Moses, that it's a free-for-all in you deciding how you want to be. No, we have a Lord. We have a Lord. His name is Jesus Christ, and we submit to him. We humble unto him in everything that he would want and expect. You're not free to run around without the Lord. You're free to run around the Lord. You're free to hang out with the Lord. You're free to do anything you want to do in his presence. There's our freedom. A lot of times Christians want to be free from all things related to the Lord. So we're not talking about freedom from living a life away from the Lord Jesus. We're talking about freedom to live in any way with the Lord Jesus. And then you read the Bible, you'll find out what way that is. In the Bible, you'll find out that if you want peace in your life, you'll have to be a peacemaker. And we're going to read the other things about what laws, what structure has he set up these days. So I printed off the 1,050 commands that you and I need to. You know, I've always said that when you get saved, it's not the time to bring somebody the list of commands. Okay, here now here's what you do. That's not necessary. What really we want you to do is get filled with the Spirit, and you'll see your nature changes. So as you read the Bible, you come across something like be merciful, and it already fits with you. It's not like, oh, I got to be merciful. No, in my heart, I'm already full of God. And so, oh, yeah, sure. Because if I'm full of God, I'm not going to do some bad stuff, right? So the goal is to be filled with God, not to try to memorize my 1,050 rules that they said I'm supposed to be a Christian. I've got to, what do you got to do? And I got to follow all these rules. And that's what gives a sour taste about Christianity. And really all it is, you'll have a sour, if you're not close to Jesus, you'll have a sour taste. If you're close to him, you'll have a wonderful, marvelous aroma in thy mouth. Where are we? Turn with me to Romans chapter 3. So we're not under the law of Moses, but we are under some laws. Here's one of them. There's five laws that the New Testament presents. Romans chapter 3, I mean, this is in the context, it's a wonderful chapter where Paul explains that our righteousness changes from Old Testament to New Testament. Old Testament righteousness was based on how well you performed, and no one performed well enough. That all Old Testament righteous was as filthy rags. There was none really righteous. As good as they tried to be, none were good enough. That's why Jesus had to come. And then so Romans 3 kind of starts off that way, talking about Old Testament, how everybody is a sinner, nobody's any good. But then it changes. Verse 21, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. So now, to be righteous, rather than obey all of the commands, you simply must believe in Jesus Christ. Now that's the foundation of Christianity. Everybody look up here. Being right with God through faith in Jesus Christ alone is the very foundation of Christianity. Do you understand that? The foundation of Christianity is not the Ten Commandments. The foundation of Christianity is the fact that you can be right with God, accepted by God, forgiven by God, saved by God, with eternal destiny in heaven without the Ten Commandments. That you can be saved now without the entire law of Moses. All you need is faith in Jesus Christ. You couldn't have fulfilled the Ten Commandments and all the 600 commandments. He did, so you receive him, it's as if you did. That's the foundation of Christianity, that you are saved by faith alone, not by trying to be pretty good. Your salvation is not based on, nor does it remain, by how well you adhere to all things. Your salvation comes to you and stays with you based on, do you believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life? Skip down to verse 27. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law of works? No, but by the law of faith. There's the term right there. There's your first law, the law of faith. There is a law of faith. We are under the law of faith. Not the law of Moses. We are under the law of faith. What does that mean? That means that we don't get to boast about how good we are in order to obtain blessing. Where is boasting then? Is it about works? No, it's the law of faith. What are we? If you're going to boast in something, boast about how much you believe in Jesus Christ. But you are not allowed to boast in how good you are. Well, I'm pretty good. I'm a pretty good Christian. That's not how you do it. Well, I know I'm a better Christian than that over there. I know I'm better than a lot of other people. Oh, you're boasting about your works? You're boasting about your goodness? Oh, you've just stepped away from the law that we're under. Don't ever get to thinking about yourself that way. There's always somebody better. Let's not play that game. You start playing that game, you're going to mess your heart up. You start playing that game with God, you're going to mess your prayer life up. Well, now, God, you know, I know I'm pretty good. Oh, now what are you going to do? You're presenting your merit for the blessing? You start presenting your good deeds in God's throne room in order to receive something. What you're saying is, you owe me now, God. There's scripture that explains all this way. I've been pretty good, God, so I need to ask you, in the mighty name of Jesus. Wait. The mighty name of Jesus is good, but you just threw in something that does not belong in the prayer room. Now, God, you know I've been praying a lot, God. So what? God, I went to church last month. Matter of fact, I think I've gone every month this year. What are you saying? You're meeting a quota so that God can now bless? You've just messed up the whole law of faith. We're under the law of faith, and what you're doing is kind of like the law of Moses, where all of your good things merit you a blessing. It's getting exciting around here. So let me say it this way. The law of faith for healing is not that you touch the hem of his garment. It's not by works. It's not that, because a lot of people were touching Jesus, mauling him probably. So it wasn't about just touching, just doing the action, trying to be good. Well, I didn't get drunk this week, so I'm better now. I'm better. God, I get something now. No. For the law of faith for healing is not that you went and touched his garment. It's that you had a confident heart and made a decision of faith that you're going to trust him with all your heart, that when you do touch his garment, you'll be healed. That's why she was healed. She had this ultimate trust in God that can't be seen. Only God can see that. And she decided, God will come through. Something will happen. So the law of faith is this confident belief. It's full assurance of faith. It's not just I went through the action. Well, I confessed all those scriptures they said to confess. And that's why you didn't get healed. Because that attitude. Because you went at it like it was a thing to do. Steps to take. This is all about relationship. Law of faith is all about relationship. So we could say the law of faith for, let's say, giving money. Maybe it does bring a blessing or whatever. Giving money, the law of faith for giving money is not that I gave a bunch of money. It's that my heart was in such honor of God and so grateful that I gave something so precious and important and big, sometimes very big, to me. Not in relation to everybody else. It means nothing about in relation to everybody else. It's to me, this was very precious to me, and I gave it to my Heavenly Father because I love him. That's the law of faith. It's not because they said, how much do I have to give? Why do I have to give so much? I'm not even preaching to you. Look, if that's your attitude, I'm not even preaching to you. You're not even on the page yet. You're not even in Romans chapter 3 yet. You're boasting about, you're worried about works. Amen. Preach it. The law of faith for righteousness is that you chose the Father and you got close to him by faith. Not because you got close to God by trying to do it right so you didn't get in too much trouble. Well, I don't want to get in trouble by God, so I guess I'll have to start doing some good works. People trying to do good works to make up for bad works are in the law of Moses, not in the law of faith. The law of faith for a miracle is not that you did something outrageous, like shout or dance or jump or even quote scripture. The law of faith for a miracle is that doing whatever you did helped your heart make a connection to God. Got you out of the flesh and into the spirit where you could latch on to your Heavenly Father. There's been times when a shout caused my faith to skyrocket. There's been times when dancing caused our faith to skyrocket. There's been times when quoting a scripture 1,000 times finally caused my faith to skyrocket. It's not the 1,000 times quoting. It's the final time that caused my heart to connect. So, you know, basically do whatever it takes to cause your heart to connect. That's the law of faith. Fully persuaded in your heart, not something outward or not something mental. The law of faith for the Holy Spirit. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3. Go back to Galatians 3. The law of faith to receive the Holy Spirit is not that you're such a perfect person before God will fill you with His Spirit and give you power or gifts or any such thing. Here's what Paul said. And then this is a big deal. Now listen, look up here. This is a big deal. We're about to read how Paul is addressing this church in Galatia. And he comes at it this way. Basically, what is wrong with you people? He's writing a letter. He says, oh, foolish Galatians. What has happened to you? So this is how Christians can get off track in their theology. Notice what he says here, verse 1, Galatians 3, 1. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Basically, you have to be careful. You have to know that there are people that will trick you out of their own ignorance or manipulation or whatever it might be. Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed you among you as crucified? This only. So he's like, okay, this. I just want to hear one thing from them. Let me just ask you one question. And the reason he's coming at it this way with Galatian church is that they had gotten saved, but then they were reverting back to the law of Moses. They were going backward, trying to, after salvation, command people, you need to get circumcised still and keep the law of Moses. Like, we're glad that you're a Christian and believe in Jesus, but to be a better Christian, you need to get circumcised and go back to the law of Moses. And Paul's like, no, don't do that to people. So he's rebuking them and he's trying to stop this in their tracks. So this is the, let me just ask you one question, you who are trying to go backwards. Verse 2, this only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Stop there. What's he saying? They had gotten saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. And so he's using that as the question. How did you get filled with the Holy Spirit? Was it because you obeyed a bunch of things? You're already filled with the Holy Spirit even without getting circumcised. So now that you're filled with the Holy Spirit and made perfect in this, I mean, you're actually made whole by salvation. You're perfect before God after salvation. Your spirit man is golden. After being made perfect in the Spirit, are you going to try to get even better by doing something in the flesh? The law of faith gets filled with the Holy Spirit because you want Him. The way that you can be filled with the Holy Spirit is you got to desire Him. The hungry people get filled. When was the last time you stopped by a fast food restaurant when you weren't hungry at all? Never. Ugh, I don't want to eat. How many times have people said that? Ugh, I don't ever want to eat again. I never say stupid things like that. That's dumb. Hungry people get filled, okay? If you haven't yet been filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking with tongues and enjoying the closeness to God, you have to stay after Him. You have to stay hungry and go. Don't ever turn away and say, well, I guess God didn't want to give it to me. No, He'll give anything to the hungry ones. I remember one time early when we had started the church, there was a man that came to church and he was learning things. He got saved. He wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he got so frustrated because he kept trying to be filled with the Holy Spirit and he couldn't. And so he made an appointment to come to the office, and he wanted to talk to me. And so he came in, and I helped him, after about 30 or minutes or an hour, receive the Holy Spirit. And he finally spoke in tongues. In the office, he spoke in tongues. And he was so excited. But that was it. We were done. I mean, within a minute after him speaking in tongues and getting the power of God, we left. We both left. I locked the church and got in my truck. And he got in his pickup truck next to me. And I look over, and he's I mean, he is rejoicing by himself like you wouldn't believe. When it means a lot to you, you'll get it. Or we can say it this way, when you're hungry for God, he'll fill you. Isn't that wonderful? That's the law of faith. It's the law of faith. Well, I went up there and they said to go up there and I would get something. I didn't get nothing. Okay. No problem. See how God would be about it? The law of faith is that God's not going to come and force you to do stuff, get stuff. You're going to have to want him. You're going to have to go seek him. Those that seek him will find. Those that ask, he'll give. Those that knock, I mean, you got to knock. Well, if God wanted me to have it, he'd come give it to me. No, you didn't knock. I did knock. I knocked. You didn't knock, worth nothing. Praise the Lord. The law of faith for water baptism. The reason you get baptized in water is not just because that's part of the plan. It's because you believe that he said to do it and you want to do it, and there's something internal that happens to you. Your soul gets solidified by water baptism. But the law of faith is I'm doing it because he said to do it. Legalism has ruined baptism in water for a lot of people. There are some people that are taught that if you don't say the perfect appropriate words when the person goes under, that you're not really baptized. And they will argue with you. Well, how do you know if they think this? Because that's the first thing they ever talk about. If they find out you're a Christian, they'll say, how did you get baptized? In the name of Jesus only? Or it's a whole false doctrine passed around by some that's not necessary. The law of faith says, I got baptized in water because I know in my heart that he wanted me to. What words were said over you? Who cares? I did it by my faith. Who cares the exact sentence that was read over me or quoted over me? I know in my heart I did it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I did it for God. I did it for the Holy Spirit. And the argument that they promote is that Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Good, we do that. But Jesus said that we should be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Remember that? So Jesus said, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Peter said, every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. If you're going to pick one, pick Jesus' words. Why would you try to throw out what Jesus said, even though Peter's he's the first one that did it? So what? It's the same thing. Jesus is the same thing. And so it doesn't matter if you said in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ or the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's the same thing. I did it in the name of him. And so I always like to say, here when we baptize people, do you know what we say? Does anybody care? Do you want to know how we say it? We usually say it both. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Why do we say both? Just to end all your argument. Just so that one day when somebody says, how were you baptized? You can say, in the name of Jesus Christ. In reality, it doesn't matter what they say when you go under the water. They could just grunt and it would take. As long as you knew what you were doing and you were doing it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, And for you heavy folks, that's what it takes. And that's okay. See, this is the law of faith, not legalism. It'll help your whole Christianity if you'll understand some things in the spirit rather than in the flesh. Make sense? Praise the Lord. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Let's talk about some more laws here. So in this law of faith, I'm going to move on from the law of faith, but there's so much to it, right? I mean, we've been talking about faith for weeks, and we could do it for the whole year and multiple years, and we will. The law of faith includes other things we've already discussed, like our words are part of the law of faith. I believe it, and therefore I speak it. The spirit of faith is that I believe and that I speak. Your salvation depended on you believing and saying it with your mouth. That's part of the law of faith. It's my heart believing, my mouth saying. It's a huge part. Your words matter. Your faith life depends on your right words. Learn the word, say the word, do it right out of your mouth, and you'll see victory and more success in your life. Words are a seed. I mean, this is a little difficult because the kingdom of God is invisible. The kingdom of God is as if a man should plant seed. Our words are seed. It's hard to describe this process because it's invisible. So Jesus gave us the analogy of when you say things, they go into the ground. And if you just take care of it, say it again, mean it, believe it, it'll grow and it'll sprout. All of a sudden, you'll have a harvest. So that's part of the law of faith, you understand? Okay, so let's move on to the next law, which is this right here, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So there's a good law to be under, the law of Christ. You know what the law of Christ is? This is just one aspect of it. You know what the law of Christ is? It's allowing him to be your Lord. The law of Christ is everything in Christ. Being under the law of Christ means everything that he's about, that's my law. Fair? Now you could try to sum it up, and you could do that. If you wanted to sum it up, you could use 1 John 3:21, that if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. We keep his commandments. And these are his commandments, that we believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. So the law of Christ inherently sums up in believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and love. We're going to get to love in a minute because that's a law by itself. But the law of Christ is basically in this whole instructional manual of love. Okay? Just keep that in mind. Now turn with me to 1 Corinthians, backwards about 10 pages. 'Why so many scriptures, Pastor? Because there's a lot of scriptures in the Bible. That's why. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Look, you read more close caption text on the TV every week than scripture. Some of you. And just be glad that our first few years at the church, man, I'd have about 15, 20 scriptures every Sunday. I didn't hear any hooping and hollering about that at all. It won't be too much. You can handle it. All right. First Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 21, or in context, verse 19. For though I'm free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all that I might win the more. To the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win the Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law. Not being without law to God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. What's he saying? You can look up here now. What's he saying? He's saying, whoever I'm talking to, I'm going to try to get on their playing field. Like if you're talking to a Jew, talk Psalms for a while. If you're talking to a Jew, mention some Old Testament stuff, right? And then preach Christ to them. Act like you know a little bit where they're coming from. If you're preaching to a non-Jew, if you're preaching to somebody that doesn't know anything about anything, don't go overboard with your religious terms. Right? Become as people. If, you know, whatever arena you're discussing with someone, you be part of that arena. What he says here is to those without law, that's those who don't have the law of Moses, those without law, I became as someone that doesn't have law. Simple. But Paul's saying not without law to God, because there is a law of Christ, law in Christ. Isn't that what he said? Not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I may win the more or save some. So it's not that Christians are don't have any rule. Like we don't have any guideline. We don't have anybody telling us anything. That's not right at all. Have you ever met a Christian like that? Didn't want you to tell them do or don't about anything in their life? I mean, most people allow the pastor up here to bring out the do's and don'ts. But as soon as it is a personal conversation, really nobody wants anybody telling them do, don't, anything. Are you okay with it? Most people don't want a personal friend or really anybody in face-to-face to be, nobody wants to be told do, don't, did wrong, did right. It takes a humble heart, a submitted heart that says, you know, I see what you're saying. I understand why.
That's right.
Make sense? So we're not saying that becoming a Christian allows you to just fly off and do whatever you want without any restraint. Absolutely not. And we dealt with this, you know, years ago with this whole revolution thing that people went through, which really they should have already known the Bible. It shouldn't have been that great for them. But they got themselves in trouble by being too loose with their lives. We know better, right? Now, the anchor point is that really no matter all the garbage and goofy stuff you do, your salvation is not what is at stake. Your salvation and your righteousness is anchored in faith in Jesus Christ. It really is. Your salvation, we already decided, is dependent not on your behavior. It's depending on your belief in Jesus Christ. If you keep that, you're still saved. The problem is you ruin it all. You mess it all up. You just mess up the whole glory of God if you're going to live without any consideration of what is holy and right. You mess up your heart, especially. Your conscience gets seared. Then all of a sudden, you do become in danger of, you know what, I'm just going to depart. Who cares? So there's lots of teaching about that that we've done to help you understand. All right, next one. Are you ready for the next one?
Sure.
Romans chapter 8. Another 10 pages to the left. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. See that? So the next law is the law of sin and death. Excuse me. The next law is the law of Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that has made me free from the law of sin and death, which was Old Testament law. Old Testament law was if you sin, you pay. Disobedience required curse and penalty. That's the law of sin and death. This new law, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, has made me free from the old law.
Glory.
There's no condemnation now. God doesn't condemn you. People don't condemn you. There's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah.
The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from that old law. Isn't that wonderful? There's quick forgiveness now. The blood cleanses us from all sin. We confess our sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us and is marvelous. And under that law of sin and death, there was sickness, injury, tragedy, loss of life, all sorts of destruction that came from sin. Deuteronomy 28 and a lot of other chapters detail repercussion for all sin. And it included all sickness and disease and everything evil that you can imagine under the sun, even loss of family, loss of wife, spouse, loss of money. Everything gets eaten up under the law of sin and death, and we're redeemed from that. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. That's the spirit of life law has saved us from the old. Verse 1 again. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no period there. There is a next part of the statement I need to identify. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. What that does is it implies that if you walk according to the flesh, there'll be some condemnation. If you can't control your flesh, that's one way to say it. If you can't control your flesh, you'll have to deal with some condemnation. It won't be from God. It'll be self-condemnation. It could be people condemnation. If you're going to live according to the flesh, you're going to deal with condemnation. If you're not going to be able to restrain yourself in the Spirit, you're going to have to deal with some condemnation. And the rest of the chapter deals with that, flesh versus spirit. If you'll stay with the Holy Spirit, stay full of the Holy Spirit, you'll have less condemnation in your life. Verse 5, skip to verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. If your mind is carnal and leading you astray all the time, you're not going to have life and peace. You're going to have depression and some form of death or incipient death. It's no good for you. You live in the flesh and you're a fleshy person, carnal person, can't walk in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, walk in love, stay close to Jesus, then you're going to have some sort of death. Sin, temptation, anxiety, fear, all that kind of stuff comes from living in the flesh instead of the Spirit. If you want to have a healthy life, full of life and peace, you're going to have to stay spiritually minded. Not weird minded, just spiritually minded.
Right.
Spiritually minded means I'm thinking about God's Word. Spiritually minded thinks, you know, I'm under the law of Christ here, so Lord Jesus, what would you say and do? How would you be?
Right.
You start being according to God's Word, you're of the Spirit. You're spiritually minded. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. When we say the law of God, we're not talking about the law of Moses. We're talking about the principles of God that are established. The right way, under the New Testament even, that is established. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. If you live a fleshy existence, you're not really pleasing the Lord. He loves you, He's not all happy about it.
Right.
He loves you. He's waiting for you to come back in the real room.
Amen.
Verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. He's writing to the Romans here, and hopefully he's writing to us. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. So for us who are sincere, this is the way I would say it. For us who are sincere about our walk with God, you got the Spirit. For those of us who really care about the Lord and the Holy Spirit and the church and people, you got the Holy Spirit. You don't need to sit there thinking, well, am I condemned or not? No, you're freed from all that condemnation if you're sincere. He'll forgive you. There's mercy and grace. There's space to repent. There's lots of this love salve to go around if you're sincere. And if you're not sincere, then, you're not going to please God. Verse 10, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit of life is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. All of a sudden, we see that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus means that there's power in you, power in me that's working to make myself better. To heal me, to make my mind work, my body work, to fix problems. He's in me. If He's in me, the same one that raised Christ from the dead and fixed His body can fix your body. So this is where you and I recognize the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is real. There's power in this law. One time I had gotten sick, this years ago, I had gotten sick, had a fever. I could tell it was about 1:30 at night, and I thought to myself, wait a second, I'll just sleep this off. And I thought, no, I better not, because I know how this feels. Tomorrow I'll just be sick. And so I got up and I just sat in the chair and I said, I'm going to read my Bible. And I turned to Romans chapter 8. No, I turned to Romans chapter 1. So I'm just going to read the book of Romans. I read Romans 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And I got to this verse 11. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life or quicken my mortal body through his spirit. And when I read it, it felt like something went in me, like a pill, like I took a pill. And we say, you know, take the gospel pill. If you're going to take any pills, you take the gospel pill. But it was the first time that it felt like something went in me. Ooh, it felt like it went into my spirit when I read this. And that was it. I'm smart enough to know, now I can go back to bed. I went to bed, woke up totally healed. It's very real. I encourage everybody to get this in your heart. It's a life changer. It can sustain you. It's something that you can do daily. And, you know, how many of you take your daily pills? You don't have to raise your hand. Take your daily vitamins and such. Take Romans 8:11. It'll help you. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Amen. Go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. We'll read verse 21, a little passage here. James 1:21. Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. So there you got a little command there, a little instruction. Lay aside some things that are wrong, you know. And receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. That means be in church, be in your word, be a hearer of God's word. Amen. Verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, there's a new law, the law of liberty. He who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. And then he talks about bridling the tongue. But I just wanted you to see this term, the perfect law of liberty. What's that? The perfect law of liberty. Well, it's acting like it's the word of God. This is a mirror so you can see yourself. Now, what you see in there is that you have some liberty. In Christ, you have liberty. Because of his perfect sacrifice and life, in Christ, we have liberty now. He paid for it. It's a great liberty. It's a wonderful liberty. If you're in the word. You are not freed from the word. You're not freed from this perfect law of liberty. This is what we live by. And this is why you're supposed to know the Bible, particularly the New Testament, which is Christ, grace and truth and faith changed everything. So you got to know your Bible. I don't know, I want to know. I just want the pastor to know the Bible. No, you got to know the Bible. Amen. You got to know the perfect law of liberty. Amen. It's a big deal. You don't have to memorize everything, you know, you don't have to, but you do have to have it in your heart to where it guides your life. And if you don't know what's in there, your thought should be, I wonder what it does say. Yeah. I wonder what the Bible says. I wonder what the Lord would say about this. I wonder what he thinks about this. It could be something you saw on the nightly news. It could be something about global warming that's, you know, pushed everywhere. What does the Bible say? You ought to know. What does God want me to do? You ought to know. Don't just dream it up. And certainly don't let unsaved people tell you what to do and think. Are you kidding me? If it wasn't so late, I could go down that rabbit trail. All right, chapter 2. Verse 12, or verse 8, for he who said do not commit adultery also said do not murder. Now if you don't commit adultery but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. Verse 12, so speak and do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. You'll be judged by the law of liberty. Whatever that is, I better figure it out. I got the answers to the test. On judgment day, we stand before the Lord and we are judged how? By the law of liberty. This whole thing that Christ is, the person of Christ and His Word that has... He's the incarnate Word. So He's the Word in the flesh. So when you sit before the judgment seat of Christ, His Word is there. He is the Word. You're judged by the perfect law of liberty, which is very similar to the law of Christ, which is the law of faith, which is the law of spirit. It's the New Testament law. That's what we're judged by. You mentioned judgment in church, and everybody's really enthused about that. On test day, who's excited about test days in school? Anybody excited about test day in school? Raise your hand if you remember you being excited about test day. I'll tell you who's excited about test days. Goody goodies. Those who studied and prepared themselves are happy about test day. Yeah, I had a whole bunch of friends that were always all happy on test day, and I was nervous and cramming it in, and don't talk to me. I'm going to... We ought to be better Christian students than we were scholastic students.
Ready for the test.
So standing before the judgment seat of Christ will be a good day if you're prepared. Well, we know what we're prepared for. We're going to have to do it right. We're going to have to walk in love, put self on the chair as we live this life on earth. Easy, right? It's easy, okay? And it's not perfectly easy, and that's why you come to church, so we can knock the imperfections off of you. We can dust the crust off of you. You need this, right? We need this. You need to sit here in church sometimes with your spouse so that you can know that they heard what you heard. Which brings us to the final law, chapter 2 here, verse 8. If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. So now he sums it up with royal law. I don't know the difference between law and royal law, but it sounds like it's pretty important. Sounds like this law has a crown on it. The royal law is the law of love.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at houstonfaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved, and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.